From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Josh Linville will join us from the StoneX offices in Kansas City to discuss the price of fertilizer this fall. Next spring, too. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast with Mike Tenera. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today settled at $5.29.5. It was four lower on the afternoon. The March at $5.36.75. It also finished down 4 cents. And the May contract at $5.41, 3.75 cents lower. November beans at $12.96, a penny and a half higher. January at $13.04.75, up 1.25. And March futures at $13.08.75 for the soybeans, a penny higher for the day. Bean meal at $3.40.20, up $4.30. The bean oil at $56.83. $1.48 lower on the afternoon. Wheat futures December at $7.20.5, up 4.5 cents for the hard red, and the soft red finished at $7.13, 0.75 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago. Nearby contract finished like this for the day. $128.57.5, down 87.5 cents. Feeders at $157, a dime higher, rather $157.10, up 60 cents for the day. And the lean hogs at $74.45, up $2.20 on the afternoon. Matt Bennett now joins us from agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, to discuss what's been happening in Chicago and on the farm both. Hi, Matt. Thank you for being with us. I know last week when we talked, a few folks had been sniffing around in the fields. Anything spectacular happen over the last week?
Yeah, there's quite a bit going on, actually. You know, we got in the field on Monday, started picking some corn. It's been a little bit foregone. It's still carrying a little bit of moisture. And, of course, there's a lot of folks trying to pick corn because they want to get in, I think, as much as they can before, you know, they switch over to beans. So I think the way this weather is and the way it's set up, you know, is that, you know, if you get, you know, into your soybeans, by the time you get back to corn, you might be 13-14%. So that's kind of how we felt. That's why we've been hitting it pretty hard this week. We've found awfully good yields, you know, right where we're at. I've heard a lot of growers talking about, you know, maybe yields haven't been quite what they were hoping for, but I think we're pretty fortunate right in here with not getting too much rain in spring and then having pretty good rain over the summertime.
Are you in the combine this afternoon?
Absolutely. So we're we're actually picking corn today. We're probably going to switch over and try to cut some beans maybe tomorrow. We just haven't had any that have been ready yet.
What did you think of the marketplace? I know you've been busy, but have you been watching over the last 24 hours or so?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, we've been basically thinking that after the report on Friday, it sure looks to us like we probably set the low for harvest. You know, we were able to dip down under five, you know, and then jump back up there in the corn. Yeah, and then closed really nicely there Friday. We've settled above Friday's high this week, and so yesterday. And so, you know, I know we gave back a little bit today, but for the most part, this market looks to me like maybe it's stabilized at a little higher level than maybe what a lot of folks thought it might stabilize at going into that report. So, you know, I think the price action has been nice. Given everyone a chance to maybe catch up on some sales if they felt like maybe they had been a little too light. But at the same time, you know, I don't think that there's any guarantee we're going to stay up here. I am not super bearish, but you know, I'm not real bullish right now either.
What do you make of the undercurrent within the marketplace that yield might have to drop yet in the month of October? Anything to that?
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, if I talked to 8 guys on the phone or gals on the phone today, then I, or 10 people, I'd say 8 of them are going to say that, you know, the yields are pretty good, but maybe a little disappointing. I've heard anything from really disappointing to, you know, just disappointing. So I think that right now, early harvest results maybe are due to some of this maybe dying. But at the same time, I just don't know. you know, I don't know for sure what to think other than I got to think that this corn crop's getting smaller and the bean crop might be getting a little bit bigger, but that's just kind of how I'm looking at it.
I was wondering because it seems to me that USDA, which dropped in September, the yield for corn might have it pretty close given how far along it was and that producers are just catching up because they're in the field.
Yeah, I think that that's possible. You know, the thing to me, you know, there's still producer survey, as you know. And so I know that they got it out in the middle of the field for September. One thing that I think is that producers were higher on their crop maybe in some instances than maybe what they should have been. And so, you know, I guess I've got to think that, you know, moving forward, you're going to see maybe a little more realistic take. And I think that, for instance, Illinois 214, I asked an agronomist that I'm not going to name that I'm pretty good friends with, you know, if they thought 214 was still a possibility for the state of Illinois, and his answer was absolutely not. So, you know, I guess at this stage of the game, I think there's a variety of factors that will lead to this corn yield coming down a little bit. Now, on the other side of things, you've got to see, you know, that essentially – in what Iowa, for instance, I'd say like the southern third of Iowa, it seems to me like yields are coming in just a little bit better than what people thought. So I'm not so sure that we're going to come down a ton, but I don't see this yield getting any bigger.
All right. So that brings us to the demand side. An awful lot is being put on China as it relates to the export market, in particular for corn. Will they buy that much?
Boy, that's the big question. You know, and I guess I don't know enough to be able to speak definitively. I can tell you what our take is on it at this point. So both Ag Market and John Stewart, you know, have a lot of, you know, contacts, especially we're going to lean pretty heavily on this type of information, you know, on some USDA data, first of all. But second of all, and most importantly, on some of your multinational companies. So, you know, some of those companies have indicated to us that they feel strongly that, you know, they're going to end up purchasing quite a bit of corn. So I don't know. My personal opinion on that is that, you know, they're probably going to purchase every bit of what the USDA thinks. It could be a little bit more yet. And I think a lot of it's going to, of course, depend on price direction. And if this crop does get much smaller, I've got to think they're going to step in here and start buying more.
ADM certainly made that known early in the year about Chinese buying for the old crop. I'm not certain that I've heard it from them for the new crop, but it appears to be an underpinning of the marketplace. Turn your attention to one other thing that's been taking place, and we'll hear about this from Josh Linville from StoneX in a moment. He's the director of fertilizer. Are you concerned at all about the price of fertilizer for this fall and next spring?
Yeah, I think there's no question that there's concern. You know, the thing is, if we want to look at how this is all set up, I mean, I know you and I talked about this clear back last fall about cheap fertilizer. It's the cheapest we'd seen in years. So we wanted to, you know, we wanted to step in there, put all of it on that we could afford to put on, because you never know what's going to happen. I had no idea fertilizer was going up. I just knew it was cheap. And so I guess at this stage of the game, you know, my personal opinion is a person may not want to use the same program they used last year, because I know a lot of folks went super heavy on fertilizer. But at the same time, let's not shortchange ourselves too much, because nobody knows what's going to happen on down the road. And so, you know, if you're used to putting 250 and 250 on, then, you know, maybe a producer scales back to 200 and 200 in hopes that next fall they can make up some of that ground. But I'm certainly concerned. I'm concerned about the logistics. You know, and most people in the fertilizer industry will tell you that you need to go ahead and get it booked. I think one of the bigger concerns I have is that if you book that and you don't sell a whole lot of 22 corn, you sure are betting a lot on faith, because nobody knows what tomorrow's going to bring. And if that these corn market would fall apart due to a black swan event or something that we don't quite know about yet, boy, that'd be devastating as far as the profit margin is concerned.
Hey, thank you, and be safe in the combine.
We will do so. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's Matt Bennett. He's with agmarket.net. Well, by now, if you've been in to visit your fertilizer dealer about your fall bulk needs for dry fertilizer, even for anhydrous and nitrogen, you probably realize the prices are pretty darned high, or you've heard about that, one of the two. And you've also heard that there are some other issues related to fertilizer, and they've likely told you some of the things that they think are happening in the supply chain. I wondered about that a little bit and caught up with Josh Linville. He's the director of fertilizer at FC Stone, and asked him a couple of questions. Tell me the issues that producers can expect when they talk to their dealers about fertilizer needs for this fall, both dry and potentially nitrogen.
There's two main ones they're going to hear about, and both of them are absolutely true. One is that obviously prices are significantly higher than what they were 12 months ago. 12 to 14 months ago, most fertilizers were at almost historically low values. Everything was long. There was no demand going into fall. But then after the derecho event, everything turned to complete 180, and it's been blasting higher to almost historical highs. And that's assuming you can get product. Some of these products out there, phosphate, which has a countervailing duty case against a couple regions around the world, as well as UAN, whose countervailing duty case against Russia and Trinidad is currently ongoing. The number of imports available to our country are vastly reduced, and some retailers are really, really struggling to get their hands on physical product. It's not a price question. It's a product availability.
Why were the countervailing duties imposed?
When it came to the phosphate, it was unfair practices. They were saying in Russia, they were getting favorable conditions that weren't available to U.S. producers. When it went to Morocco, it was more of that, as well as some of the environmental. They were claiming that Morocco was not discarding their leftover phosphate that wasn't a part of the production process, and they weren't being held up to the same environmental laws. There were some financing things that were available to them that Mosaic didn't have available. And so they were just claiming unfair practices, and that's what the basis of that entire case was founded on.
And then things are complicated because of Ida, but that's not probably because of imports, or is the lack of imports, I would think, but you can better explain how that happens.
Yeah, so obviously we had a greatly reduced number of imports because of these duties that were out there. When these are either in place or the case is ongoing, it's very, very difficult to bring product into the U.S. marketplace because you've got to pay these astronomical prices. So there weren't a lot of imports already coming, which were needed. And then you add in that when Hurricane Ida came through, there's a tremendous amount of nitrogen production as well as some phosphate production in that region. And the phosphate production facility sustained damage, and there was reportedly going to lose 300,000 tons of production this fall. And the nitrogen facilities came out almost unscathed. But because of a lack of electricity in the area, they had to stop producing, and they've lost at least a couple of weeks. So you had a lack of imports, tight inventories before the hurricane hit, and then the hurricane, of course, reduced inventories even further. It's made a very tight supply situation even worse.
Given those conditions, why is it that the supply chain along the Mississippi, Illinois, and Ohio rivers didn't bother to put fertilizers in place this past summer?
I think some of it is the product wasn't quite as readily available as it has been the last few years. And again, that lends itself to a very tightly supplied marketplace. On the flip side of it, there is a tremendous amount of price risk that's associated with today's marketplace. Some of these retailers up and down the river systems, they have to buy the product and hope that the market either stays flat or that it continues to move higher. Because if that price starts to decline, they're forced to eat that difference. And so it's really easy to fill your shed 12 months ago when prices were at almost historic lows. That makes a very, very easy decision. There's a lot more upside than downside price potential. But where we were this summer and we continue to be today, it's very difficult to take that price risk and just on the hope that the demand will be there and the prices will support where they bought it.
What does it mean for the producer this fall?
I believe it's going to be a little bit more of a difficult situation. The producer and the retailer need to have more conversation on what the needs are or are not going to be. Again, it's always been one of those things where the producer is always very nervous about giving a lot of information to the retailer. Rightfully so. The retailer is trying to sell them something. They're worried about that information being used against them. But given how tight supplies are today and given how high priced everything is and the price risk that everybody is wearing, it's more important now than ever that conversations be had. you know, you need to be talking and saying, listen, I may not be willing to buy this stuff today, but I will be using phosphate, or I will be using potash, or don't expect me to put on phosphate potash this fall because the prices are too high. It doesn't make sense for my farm. But in the same breath, if you say that, you also have to be ready that if you go in at the last hour, if you go in November, they very well may not have that product available for you because they had not planned on that demand being there.
And even if you do book it, I'm told that it may not be available.
I think for the fall, I think we'll be okay. The phosphate and potash supplies are obviously very tight, but there has been some that's been popping up here or there. It just may be a little bit higher price than what some are comfortable having to buy. But yeah, that's a big reason why we do need to plan sooner than later. Some of these products may get so tight that there are serious issues that may not be able to get the product in place in time.
Is there an issue for anhydrous ammonia or nitrogen?
I don't believe so for anhydrous. We ended the spring season fairly low on inventories. We had a phenomenal fall run and a very good spring run, which meant inventories were very, very low. You combine that with industrial demand has started to come back as COVID. I wouldn't say COVID has gone away, but the economy has started to wake up from post-COVID. So demand has picked up and inventories were low. However, at this time, it doesn't seem like there is just going to be a complete lack of anhydrous, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see prices rally the closer we get to the fall. When you look at the price of anhydrous versus UAN and urea, it is very, very cheap in comparison when you break it down on a price per pound of N basis. So eventually, when that demand does start to step forward, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that market starting to rally.
Do you work closely with Arlen Suderman on the price outlook for corn as it relates to fertilizer? And what does that tell you, if anything, about what next spring prices might look like?
Yeah, no, he and I actually sit no more than 30 foot away from each other in the Kansas City office, and we talk quite often. You know, he tracks a lot of my fertilizer information. I track a lot of his grain information, and we have these conversations in regards to, you know, what does the relationship look like? Will this hurt demand on one side or another? Conversation that he and I had yesterday was, you know, expectations are that we will see 91 million acres of corn be planted in 2022. But we're also hearing a lot of reports that the quote-unquote fringe acres of corn are currently stating where corn prices are today for December 22, they cannot cash flow because of how high price the fertilizer is. So we could actually see that 91 million acres start getting cut back to, you know, 90, 89, 88 million acres. And then, of course, that brings a whole new conversation of, well, if that starts to happen, what happens with the corn price? Will it respond to fight back for those acres, or will they just willingly give them up? So yeah, there's a lot of nuances and a lot of give and take in all of these markets. They're all connected.
Hey, Josh, thank you.
Yep.
Josh Linville is with StoneX, where he serves as the director of fertilizer. Please do visit our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Not only will you find our daily ag programming to listen to on demand there, but you'll also find a couple supply and demand tables from this morning's Farm Doc Daily webinar with ag economist Joe Jansen and Scott Irwin. There's a supply and demand table for corn and one for soybeans. The soybean numbers aren't very much different from USDA's release last week. However, the corn figures are quite a bit different, and they have an ending stocks for this year above the 1.5 billion bushel mark and a cash price for the season that's 45 cents lower than USDA is currently using. You'll not only find the supply and demand tables for that webinar on our website at willag.org, but if you scroll down, you'll find a link to the webinar series. And either way, you can always go to the Farm Doc Daily website, too, and find them all at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look under the webinars for the archives of the fall update from the Farm Doc team. Mike Tenura now joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Great being here today.
Well, let's start here in the Midwest. Begin with, over the next week to 10 days, will farmers be able to get into the fields to harvest in a big way?
Well, they should be able to because there's very warm weather on the way and not much rain. We'll see highs in the 80s and even the 90s come early next week, and that's in advance of another system that's approaching. That system will eventually move through over the course of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week. they'll produce some rain and some storms, but we're not looking for heavy rainfall with this setup. And because of that, there's just not a whole lot of concern over wet conditions for harvesting, at least over the next week or two.
What do things look like for the end of September and the beginning of October?
Well, still pretty quiet. Once we get beyond next week, there's not much on the immediate horizon. Of course, there's always a level of uncertainty when you start looking far into the future. But at this point in time, it looks like we're in the same type of setup where we'll see a cool front move through once in a while. But in between the cool fronts will be very warm and even occasionally hot weather, at least early next week. So it's just pretty quiet, Todd. September can be one of the more boring weather months in the central U.S., and that's why we have beautiful days like we have today, and this is going to fit into that little bubble for the moment.
How do you see the new crop year beginning in Brazil?
Well, it's been raining on and off in southern growing areas, so that's good news for them because they had that drought from April through May and into June, and it hasn't totally broken, but we are seeing some decent rains, and for first crop corn planting, this will help to get things moving because they are getting the moisture they need. To the north, we're still in the dry season. The dry season in the key areas of Goiás and Mato Grosso does not break until we get into October. And since we're still sitting here in September, it's not unusual to be dry at this time of the year. Now, there have been some storms forming over the last week, and this is different than what was going on a year ago, where it was pretty dry and it stayed very dry all the way through October and into November in one of the driest springs they had on record. At this point, we don't think we're going to see a repeat of that. We've been seeing some good rains, or at least decent rains, over the last week. We'll see some more rains coming up over the next 2 weeks. And once we get into October, we always expect rains to become more frequent. And at this point in time, we don't have a reason to deviate from that thinking.
And what are conditions like on the ground in Argentina?
Well, Argentina is an interesting story because they were in a full-blown drought as of the end of August. They had not received very much rain over the course of the winter. And because of that, we were a little bit concerned about what it was going to look like once we got into planting season next month. And also for the wheat growing season, which starts right now and then continues through the month of October and into November. But we had a huge rain event between September 1st and 8th, and that dumped 1.5 to 5.5 inches of rain on the key growing regions. Keep in mind that the month of September is one of the drier months of the year in Argentina, where they only average around 0.5 to 1.5 inches of rain. So this was a really big deal. It wiped out all the dryness story for the country, and that will help out with corn and soybean planting once we get into next month. And it's also helped out their wheat crop, which is breaking dormancy now and gets into full swing here over the next few weeks.
Hey, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking with you again next Thursday.
Yep, that sounds great, Todd. Talk with you then.
That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.